This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Pick of the Week 622, brought to you by Mac Weldon. Underwear, socks, and clothing that are better than what you're wearing right now, unless you're wearing Mac Weldon. And if you are, then you know. Use the promo code iFanboy for 20% off. And iFanboy listeners just like you. Hello, welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week. I got really emotional for a second. I don't know why.
No one blames you.
622. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
I need to keep 7 CVC blood gas and type and cross check. Add 4 mics of Haldol, just in case. And had 2 units of Oneg up here at the ready.
What season are you at now?
7.
Oh, wow. Jeez, you're halfway.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a lot has happened.
while Josh watches ER on Hulu, we are iFanboy, and every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks their favorite book. We call it the Pick of the Week. We talk about that book, other books we read, the patron picks, some superpowers, listener mail if we've got time. It's fun. It's a fun old time here at iFanboy headquarters. And if you like this, that's the end of the show. Why am I doing that? Wow. Wow. This is going to be a show. This is going to happen. I can feel it on my bones. Here's your spoiler warning. It's a review show. I just tried to do the end of the show in the beginning. This is going to be bad. There'll be spoilers. Exercise some caution. This week, Josh, you had the pick.
I did have the pick. The pick was very nearly the book that comes after this in our rundown. That's a teaser. Although, I guess if you have show notes, then you'll know. There we are. And then I read through 5 issues of Punisher the Platoon to make sure that I was on. I said, I have to give this a shot for this last week. And I told you, I said, no, I'm going to read it. And I had to make sure that I actually did read it. So the Punisher of the Platoon #6 from Garth Ennis and Goran Parlov with Jordi Belair on colors. I don't know if this is a Punisher story. And there's actually like there's a meta commentary that goes on with the guys at the table. I guess if those of you are not reading this, whatever. Basically a writer who we never see.
Yeah, which is I didn't think I realized that until they made
I thought
it really
there was going to be a reveal for a second, and I was like, oh, this is Garth Ennis they're talking to. that's what I thought. He's like, I'm the writer. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm talking to them. They're deciding what they want to say, which is actually what I want to say. Anyway, has gone to see these guys who were in LT Castle's platoon back in Nam, and they're telling the story of the things that they saw and what he was like. And there's just a bit where they kind of just go, listen. Anything that comes after this, any of whatever that killing stuff, the Punisher stuff, that doesn't matter. And that is to me is the writer saying to us, like, yes, we recognize the Punisher story, but none of that matters. Don't look for that link in this story. Don't look for him to dig through a crate of grenades and pull out a shirt with a skull on it and be like, oh, there's the link. Like, we're not even messing around with you on that. It's just, we've taken a person like this, we've called him Frank Castle, we, you know, made him a nondescript white male with a large chest and black hair, and he's real good at war.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a Birth of the Punisher story. You know? Right. It's not like this is the moment where he kills 25. Yeah, he kills 25 VC and suddenly he's the Punisher. But it is a Frank Castle story, and it's the beginning of one. If you read the back, they're I guess now working on the next chapter, because this issue ends with the he gets recruited by Force Recon, the Special Forces. So that's the next chapter of this story, which is exciting. I didn't know this was going to be a continuing not a continuing series, but a continuing story being told through various miniseries, which is fun. So how was it reading all five?
It's pretty good. I mean, there is really an actual reason that this sort of last issue would have been the pick of the week, where some of the other ones might not have been. They're all excellent. They're all very good, you know, in terms of quality and craft, and we know that. There's no surprise to that. But Garth Ennis is a good storyteller, and I liked some of the things that happened here. I specifically like the way that basically there's this female NVA, or Viet Cong, I guess she's VC, who has sort of been the quote-unquote villain, or at least the antagonist this whole time.
But she's been waiting in the wings. You've been waiting for that confrontation with her and Frank.
And the way that it went down was, you know, not the expected way, basically. And you kind of see what happens, but it's not like this is the knockdown, drag out fight that you've been waiting for, because like everything involved with this particular war, it's so much more complicated than that. And only one person saw it, and it's the Sergeant Dryden, and he was literally on the ground with his guts hanging out, and he watched it, and he's just like, everything that happened between them is nobody's goddamn business but theirs.
I love that guy.
Yep.
He's my favorite. I think he was the reason why this issue was so great.
Yep.
I mean, Goran Parloff would be the other reason, but...
Well, I was going to say, part of that was like, if you looked at the way they drew old version of him versus young version of him, you knew exactly who you were looking at. And it wasn't just because he was the only black guy. It was like, the face was really interesting, and the face was really specific. And so as they cut from one to the other, it was really clear, oh, this is totally the same guy, the way that cheekbone was shaped, you know, and the way that the head was shaped. It was just good cartooning. In fact, more so with him than the other guys. I couldn't tell who some of the other guys were.
Yeah, I would lose track. One guy was blonde in the war, and now he's a brunette. But I think I didn't realize till this very moment that this is clearly, I mean, obviously it's a Punisher Max story. It's a Max book. But, you know, the Punisher at this point would be an old man.
Yeah. Oh, you were like, thinking about – I was the whole time.
I wasn't really thinking about that. I think the greatest regret of my life,
wow.
The greatest regret of my iFanboy life right now is that I didn't read the Punisher Max series.
I have that.
That Garth Ennis wrote. I really need to read that.
Don't you own it? Did you buy like the big book?
No, that big book was the Punisher series he did with Steve Dillon.
Okay.
And then they did Punisher Max after that.
And then?
Which were two different series.
Really? And that hadn't come out? Or you didn't? There's no way
I just didn't read it at the time.
Yeah.
And then it's out. Like, there's like a series of trades. I don't know if they're still in print anymore. Marvel never keeps the thing in print. There was a time when I had them all like on my Amazon wish list, meaning to buy them, and then I just never did it for whatever reason.
I've got a bunch of those. Well, because there's only
there's 10 of them. Anyway, I really do want to go back and read those, because I feel this is probably that same world. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, Goran Parloff is so good, and I'm glad they're continuing, because I'm so happy to have his work in my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a dirty story, but it ended up being like a kind of a nice one. Most of his unit survived because of him. Mm-hmm.
It's very specific. Like, the only thing that he did there was fight for everyone to survive in his platoon. And there's a bit sort of at the end where he's like, listen, you're gonna sign up again, but we're all gonna be gone. You're gonna have done your job and make it, and you're gonna be, you know, saving new guys who don't mean anything to you. And you sort of realize that the point is that he's trying to save everybody he can, which is that's your connection to what Punisher is. And the way they said the way that he did it, you know, it didn't matter how it got done, as long as it got done. The mission was keep everybody alive.
Right. It's a good war story. I'm glad that he gets to keep finding ways to explore. He, meaning Garth Ennis, keeps getting to find ways to explore war.
Uh-huh.
And what it means and what it does to people. And if he gets to, if Marvel lets him do it through the Punisher, then so be it. It's still really good and powerful.
Yeah, it is. And then I guess the one other thing, and we've talked about this, it's not going to be new to anybody, but Goran Parlov is very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see him on more. I know that. Remember, he did the Starlight series, I guess.
Yes, with Mark Miller,
which was not like this, because I've really only seen him in this kind of thing, realistic, you know, give or take, you know. But he can do the other stuff too. He can kind of do anything, and it's interesting that he's either somebody thinks that he's not mainstream enough, and so he only gets to do these sort of prestige projects,
or
he's chosen to do that. You know, I don't know. And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, oh, put this guy in Fantastic Four. I'd read it. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know that that's the right move for him. This is another one of those things where I'm like, why isn't this person a superstar? But I think he's a person who's a superstar to people who...
He's a pro's pro.
A pro's pro, right. Like, he's like people will talk about Jack Kirby or John Byrne, but pros are all like,
Garcia Lopez?
That's it. You know, like, pros are, like, crazy for that dude, you know, but most people don't know him. And I think Goran
Parlov... People of a certain age do. He was big when we were kids.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm looking at the list here for Punisher Max, which is only 5 volumes, not 10. I don't know why it's not 10.
I thought there's 6 here on...
That could be wrong. It could be a 2, but Goran Parlov did a good portion of it.
Yeah, it started off as Derek Robertson, I guess.
So I might need to definitely get that, because...
The words might and definitely... make that sentence problematic from an intention standpoint.
I know. I'm giving myself an out.
That's fine. That's fine. It's no hurry.
Assuming they're still in print. I mean,
I got a lot of Cerebus to read too. So
you're right. So Punch. I mean, it was good. This was a great miniseries. It was pick of the week at least twice. It could have been maybe more, but it was not maybe the story you were expecting, but it was a story that was really interesting. It was really about, I think, really about, I mean, it's in the title. It's about the platoon more than the Punisher. And I like it. I want to see where this goes next. I want to see, you know, what happens when he's in Force Recon.
I think some shit's going to go down.
I mean, the fight, you're right. The fight wasn't what you were expecting, but it still was really brutal.
Yeah, and compelling.
And compelling. But yeah, it was really good. This was a great miniseries. If you're a fan of Garth Ennis' war stuff, if you're a fan of Punisher, you know, check it out for sure. Now that it's out,
Doctor Strange Damnation #1 came out, and I said, oh, this is a, you know, I've been enjoying Doctor Strange lately, so I said I'm gonna look at this and see what it is. Oh, it's Donny Cates with Nick Spencer writing it, and art by Rod Rees. Is not part of the normal mini series. I guess it's the mini series. And I didn't know what it was, but I was like, I'll check it out because it looks really good. And I like what Donny Cates is doing on the main book. And Nick Spencer has some chops too. And this, like, I was about halfway through this and I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't even thinking about this. I was about halfway through going, this could be a pick of the week. Like, I was, yeah. I really had a moment where I was like, this is actually very good. I was really enjoying it. And so this was very nearly pick of the week.
Very good. I wasn't going to read it either. And then I saw the creative team and I was like, all right, well, at least I'll check it out. And yeah, it was really good. I mean, my favorite part of it was Doctor Strange's crazy old man eyebrows.
Yep, they are really good.
It could have been Pick a League just for that. But, I mean, I didn't read Secret Invasion. And so every time I encounter a story that relies heavily on it, I get a little off-put.
Secret Invasion, I believe, is the Kree story, or is the Skrull storyline. Secret Empire. However,
that's what I meant. Secret Empire.
That was the one part that I was like, is that what they're talking about? Which made me think you guys need to let this go. But
yeah, anytime it pops up, it is a mistake, I think. But so I guess in the aftermath of that story, which Las Vegas was destroyed, Doctor Strange uses his newly returned magic to resurrect the entire city and the people who died. Remember that crazy magic reset button that Dan Slott told us about one time in an interview. And but in the course of that, Mephisto says, hey, I'm going to open my own casino here because this city is full of sin.
I mean, it all worked out really well. And I liked there's a definite moral play going on here where, oh, we saved all these people. And like a lot of these people are scumbags. and I just thought that was really fun. I liked Mephisto in this a lot. I feel like I've seen this kind of character, obviously, and it's not exactly the same as Mephisto in the past, but I don't know. It was fun. It played really well. It played really well against Doctor Strange. I love, like, they're really nailing down a personality for the current Doctor Strange right now. And people either weren't, like, he wasn't around, or people didn't get a great hold of him. I like his hubris. I like his arrogance and his just, he rushes into stuff. But he has a ton of power, but he also has a lot of wisdom and intelligence that he kind of willfully ignores sometimes. I think I was getting tired of it being a story with like Iron Man. It's very similar to what they've done with Tony Stark, but being as he's the Sorcerer Supreme, like he has to have a lot of confidence. He reminds me of a doctor, which is what it's supposed to be. Like he's like a surgeon because he was a surgeon and he's got that, at least the fictional NBC version of surgeons.
If you're reading Doctor Strange, this could very well have been the next arc. I mean, you know, it's the return of the magic. It's the ghost dog. I mean, it's all the stuff that we left with in the last issue we talked about last week is here. This very much felt like the next issue, just over on the side in a different miniseries. But it seems like he's gathering a team to help him fight Mephisto, which includes Blade and Moon Knight and Dr. Voodoo and Iron Fist and Ghost Rider and who's the girl with the guns? The Slayer.
Bloodstone. She's the daughter of Jason Bloodstone, okay. Which I only know because I had that several volumes of the Marvel Handbook that I read a lot. And then she showed up in, I don't know if it was Avengers Arena, but I think it was the book that came after that. I forget her name, but she's a monster hunter.
Was Wong oddly antagonistic here where he has not been so in the regular series?
I think he got pissed and walked off, so he's still mad at Strange. More importantly, Wong was chilling in his recliner, but his full suit, whatever his sort of Wong outfit is, he was in
there. You got to be ready to go. It doesn't matter what you're watching on Netflix. But the thing is, like, Wong's got too much TV for the amount of room he's got in that room.
You know what? Wong has to do what Wong wants right now. He worked real hard for a long time.
He's like 8 feet from that TV.
Yeah. He likes it that way.
His toes could almost touch the console. And
I don't know. What are you looking at? That's not a huge TV. That might be, depending on your perspective, that could just be a 42-incher. Could be high to mid-30s.
Here's the other thing. He's got a nice steaming cup of coffee, tea next to him. However, I don't see the teapot, and you know, he's gonna be done with that tea in 3 or 4 sips. He's gonna get up. It's a lot of getting up.
He's got Mystic Arts and shit. It'll be fine. He keeps the tea warm that way.
He could, I guess, which is an awesome power. Damn it!
No, he could. I'm just gonna beep. Damn it! Write that down and then bring it back at the end of the show.
So yeah, I like this a lot. I was with you on this. I mean, if this had been the pick of the week, I totally would have been with you.
It's good. It's a good book.
Donny Cates is dialed in to Doctor Strange right now.
Yeah,
and he's a fun character, and I'm glad he's sort of back as full Doctor Strange. We don't need all the heroes moping around without their powers. So it's nice that he's back, and this was good.
Yeah, I don't want moping. I know. I
got enough of that in my daily life.
Yep.
The Defenders number 10, the final issue. From Brian Michael Bendis, and he's got to close out Spider-Man. That'll be his swan song for Marvel, which makes sense. But you know, at first I was like, I don't really care about the Hood. I never really loved the Hood, even in the heyday. But I really liked this issue a lot, so I was okay with it.
I think I couldn't figure out if I liked this issue until I got to the end, and I was like, that's pretty good. I like that. But at the same time, kind of nothing happened. I have literally seen the Hood give this speech or some version of it to a group of villains before. Like, I feel like I've seen exactly the scene. So it just felt a little like it was really well done. It's obviously got that Bendis dialogue crackle thing that he can do. But it felt very also ran. I'd done it. I like the scene with Black Cat and Misty Knight a lot.
Well, that was my favorite scene. And I also really like the idea that Danny's like, oh, hello. Now that he gets to actually not be punching her, he's like, I kind of love her. That was my favorite moment. I also felt like this could have been and maybe should have been Bendis's last issue, because I get that Spider-Man, it's like his you know, the character that he's probably most associated with outside of Luke Cage, maybe, or Jessica Jones. But, you know, the final shot of all the heroes waiting to beat up all the bad guys that the Hood has gathered basically includes all of the major characters that Bendis has touched. I mean, he's written everybody, but, like, these are some of the major ones he's either revived or revitalized or created. And it felt like an appropriate splash page for him to go out on.
Who's the Etrigan looking dude?
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
Okay. That's Etrigan. Wow. All right.
Etrigan, yeah, it's a crossover. No one knew. Was this the comic that Spider-Woman made a brief appearance in? Or was that it was this one. So he basically got to touch everybody that he's, you know, Spider-Woman, who he brought back to prominence in New Avengers, because Miles Morales is in here, Ben Urich.
Yeah, but here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Over on the right side, that's Ronan, correct?
In the final page?
Yeah.
Hold on. I was looking at the earlier stuff for you.
All right, and then over on the left side...
Yeah, that's Ronan, yeah.
...is Echo. Who is Ronan?
Right, but Ronan is also... Hawkeye, right?
I want you to hear the sound I'm about to make. And it goes like this.
Wasn't he Hawkeye first?
I mean, I don't care what Bendis has to say about Hawkeye, quite honestly.
Not like this. Ugh.
So I believe...
I liked this, though. David Marquez was terrific.
Yes.
I'm really... As curious as I am to see Bendis write Superman, I'm really curious to see what Marquez does next. Because whatever it is, it's going to be awesome.
I hope it's somebody good, and I hope he really gets to, you know, gets to fly.
How he would draw Superman, is what I'm saying.
I've been thinking that about just about everybody. Chris Omni could draw Superman. Marquez.
Chris Somney would be the one, though. So I assume you didn't read, because it was crazy, The Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman number one. And by I mean your week was crazy.
With superstar Liam Sharp?
Yes.
And the press release told me that Liam Sharp was a superstar. And I said, who is Liam Sharp?
He's really good, but yeah. I think they've pushed, they've... Anyway.
I have nothing against him. I just don't think was reading the one book that he's done that...
Liam Sharp is an English artist who did Wonder Woman with Greg Rucka. That was probably his biggest, most high-profile job. Here he's a writer-artist, and this is a story so far. It's a miniseries, I think it's, of course, probably six issues, yes, heavily seeped into Irish lore. So, like, the Irish gods come for help from Wonder Woman, because Tir na n'Og, you know, sort of the Irish... fantasy world in which the old gods live in peace away from the people now that they're no longer worshipped is having problems. And I enjoyed it because Tir na n'Og was the name of a bar I used to go to in New York, and I enjoyed that place quite a bit. It looked good. I mean, he's a really good artist. He's not necessarily my style, but he does
sort of a Finch school.
It's a bit Finchy. But he doesn't cheat in the pages. I mean, he packs in detail here. Mm-hmm.
And
he's writing it as well. And the thing is, it's not bad. It's a little overwritten. There's a little too many words, but it's a very authentic sounding Irish cast of people.
That's good.
You know, it's not Banshee here, from X-Men. This is someone, I mean, Liam's English, but he clearly has an ear for Irish, dialect. And how the words, how the sentences are, you know, composed and everything. So when we're dealing with lots of Irish people, it didn't sound painful to my ears.
Liam Sharp, you said he was British, but that sounds like a pretty Irish name to me.
I thought it was. I looked him up, but he was born in Derby. Mm-hmm. Derbyshire. So,
well,
anyway, this is the only criticism I'd have would be that he doesn't. I don't like his Batman. He the cape is weird. He's got it like attached to the shoulders in a strange way, and it doesn't look. It looks weird. But you know, there's a mystery. Batman is trapped in some sort of weird demon world, and Wonder Woman has been summoned to help Tiernanog. That's how I spelled. There's probably Irish people crying as I say that out loud.
It doesn't sound bad. I don't really know, but I mean, at least you're not trying to do it with an accent. That would be worse.
They've had enough problems to hear me try to pronounce their words.
Troubles.
Properly.
They call them troubles. Is it too soon to make that joke? I feel like I just said it. I'm like, I don't think you should make that joke.
They go across Giant's Causeway to enter Tiernanog. It was a nice little, you know, it's like, oh, this feels very authentic. But it looked really good, and I'm interested because it is a different kind of story than what I'm used to. So I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I gave it a flyer. I wasn't necessarily going to read it, but I thought, oh, I'll give it a shot.
Well, it's funny because my instinct was like, I wouldn't have read that. And then I was like, I don't know, Wonder Woman Batman. I just said I liked a Wonder Woman Batman story. Maybe I would have, you know.
Well, you know, on a lighter week, you might want to check it out.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. You know what? I enjoy my Mack Weldon underwear.
Do you?
I'm just going to say it like that. That's how it's going to start. I do. I just did a load of laundry, so they're up next. Pretty excited about I'm actually going on a little trip, and I have enough now that I can make it through the whole trip in my premium underwear, because I know I'm going to be moving around. I'm going to be active. I'm not going to want bunching. I'm going to want everything to be right where it needs to be. I'm going to need moisture transported from places where it shouldn't be to places where it will do no harm. I want all
those
things.
You don't
want
rolling?
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do with my Mack Weldon underwear. So they're sponsoring the show today, and we have the job of telling you about it, and we don't mind this job.
And the thing about it is, I think we discussed this last time, but you know, on a random Tuesday where I just go to work, come home, and I'm not wearing my Mack Weldon. That's for like a special outing, you know.
I'm going to suggest you might need to get some more though, and you can make every day special.
That's true. Every day could be special, but if every day is special, is anything special?
Well, I think when it comes to.
I mean, that's the existential crisis I'm in right now.
I know. I understand. It just sounds like an excuse to me. Because the thing is this. Even you, too, can go in and use the code iFanboy and get 20% off.
That is true.
And just,
I am,
you know,
not immune.
Listen. I'm not gonna jerk you around here. You know, switching to a premium underwear is a bit of a commitment. Because for one thing, you're going in there. Now, if you're buying cheapo underwear, right? You know what it costs. You've got your budget for you. You know what it is. Then you move to the other one and you think, oh, I can't go back now. So you got to go a bit at a time. You order some, you add to the stable, you take care of them. Before you know it, you're going a week. You're going 2 weeks, and then you're just on the good stuff.
But someone who says, hey, this underwear, why would you pay this much for underwear, has never worn premium underwear.
That's what I'm saying. That's a defensive posture. And it turns out that there are things that are worth spending money on.
And listen, I get it. Times are tough. People, you know, but if you got the extra scratch, this premium underwear is a place to spend it. On your feet and on your butt is where you want to keep things premium. Mm-hmm.
And also, I would go so far as to say on the upper extremities, there are sweatpants solution there, or lounge pants as they're called. Sometimes there's hoodies, there's t-shirts, there's long sleeves t-shirts. I believe there's a merino top of some kind. There's different types of underwear. There are new patterns. And I'm not telling you because it's in the copy, because it's not in the copy. There are new colors and patterns of the silver underwear, which are naturally antimicrobial. And that means they don't stink. So let's say, for example, you know, between you and me, everyone, what if you have a stink issue? You know about it. You're aware about it. Maybe there's something you can do about it that is a lot easier than you thought it was. Instead of, you know, powders or whatnot that you're sticking on there, just go with an antimicrobial. All of a sudden, nothing's getting absorbed. All that stink is just going off into the atmosphere instead of sticking to you.
Is this a random fake person we're talking about here?
It is.
Or?
No, I'm not okay. Very... That's not. Okay. That's not a. That's. I have a lot of problems. That is not one of them. I'm barely post-pubescent.
I see.
Here's the problem that we have with Mack Weldon. I'll tell you right now. We talk about the underwear too long.
That's true.
We really enjoy talking about the underwear too long. So we're going to cut this short. We've made the point, I think. You want to get over to MackWeldon.com. You can get 20% off using our promo code iFanboy. If you haven't, you should try it. There's a guarantee. If you don't like that first pair of underwear, send it back. They'll refund you. Actually, you keep it. I'm sorry, you don't send it back. You keep it. I don't know what happens if you try to buy after that. They're probably like, no, you don't get in now. You can't.
Yeah, it's true. You're out.
You know what? That's a club you don't want to find yourself out of for life.
Mack
I know
Weldon
that.
Takes you to the basement of a house in Queens.
Okay.
You're wearing this shirt with the big collars, and that's how it goes.
Figuratively.
MacWeldon.com, 20% off using the promo code iFanboy. Check it out. Batman 41.
Batman 41. This is a very different story than where we've been for the last four issues of Batman.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, I mean, this is the best ongoing superhero book, I think. The best written ongoing superhero book. Mm-hmm. However, I can't imagine this is something that like the masses are into. This is not a criticism of Tom King and
I understand.
Of Michael Janin. It's a challenging superhero book. This, you're talking about DC's number one comic.
Is it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Although not as much as when Snyder and Capullo did it. And that, again, this is not a knock on Tom King and Michael Janin. It's just that was more your crowd pleasing Batman tale. Even then, challenging, but within the wrapping of more of a crowd pleasing Batman tale. This is more of a Tom King Batman story, which means it's very well written, it's very highly considered, it's very well structured. It's just not a lot of punching in it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm fine with. It's just I can imagine a lot of people who were, I mean, unless you count Alfred, I feel like every fourth issue Bruce knocks out, which I feel like can't be good for Alfred's health.
He's not a young man.
No, in this issue he clocks him, and I was like, dude's 80 or something. I mean, this everyone is susceptible to the dangers of concussions, but I mean, you laid him out.
Yeah, and he's not good at that.
No, and I'm just what I'm saying is, it's a challenging series. I love that it's a challenging series with the flag, which is now the flagship character and the flagship book. I hope it continues because I really do like it.
Yeah,
even if I don't believe this marriage will ever happen, even if it does happen.
I kind of like how it feels like we're committed to it.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll surprise us. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know, and I like not knowing. I like that it's different. And even though this story wasn't exactly my favorite kind of story, I like what we were doing before, I was just happy. I was like, all right, yeah, do the other thing.
You know, so somehow Poison Ivy's control of everybody.
Yeah,
which we haven't learned how yet. But I did like, first of all, thank God for the Flash, because he was going to knock Alfred out again. Like twice in one issue, he was going right for it, and Poison Ivy makes the Flash run up and block the punch with his own face. But for God's sakes, Bruce, he's your surrogate father.
He's not. I guess he is in control. Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like a surgical puncher. Like he knows how to punch him in just a way.
Maybe, but it doesn't change the fact.
Like he's decided.
And also, look where he's. Look at the next panel with the overhead shot of the room, which is funny because the Flash is all splayed out. But he would have knocked Alfred into that mantle, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
He would have cracked his head open. I mean, the guy just got his hand back.
We're not talking about that.
How did he get his hand back? I don't even remember.
It's a magic reset button.
That's right.
And you're gonna take it every time, and you're gonna love it. I'd almost forgotten about that.
Also, God, it must not be comfortable to sleep in that outfit.
Over to Luke Cage, number 170. Which?
Wait, one more thing.
Yeah.
Really, really terrific dress on Poison Ivy.
I actually really just thought the whole thing looked great.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this guy's good. And I mean, I think some of it, like, there's a thing where it's kind of hypersexualized, but it's still damn fine art, and I can't deny that.
Listen, the person running around in their skimpiest outfit the whole time is Bruce.
And, yeah, it is a nice dress.
Yeah.
He's got that red hair with the green dress thing, which
Rascal.
Is... Well, this was in the short section, but we could keep going. Anyway... Luke Cage 170.
That's right.
I wanted to enjoy this.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it, but I was wondering how you were going to feel about it after I finished reading it. And this is the final issue of Luke Cage, Dave Walker's final issue. I think he announced today he's no longer working at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But he said in the back essay that he wanted to tell the story the entire time. He just hoped to tell it in a different way throughout the series. But since the series got canceled, he did it here. And this was a story about Luke Cage telling his daughter a bedtime story in which she takes over the narration. So basically, it's her bedtime story. This is, you know, I let him have it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I got it.
His own daughter. So
yeah, I mean, it is self-indulgent, and I don't mind.
Yeah.
If I put it that way, I could tell, oh, this is his daughter. This feels to me like either, you know, the writer's daughter or niece or some kid that the writer knows, because this sort of haphazard. No, yeah, I know. It says it at the end. And he said he'd wanted to do this all along. End of the day, is it a thing that I would have shown up to this book for? Not really. It's funny because it happens that my son is very different from this. And so I don't really relate to it in that sense. And again, nothing wrong with that, but I just, like, I get Love of the Child and all that. But it wasn't what the book was. Like, literally, Luke Cage has spent the entire time on the road away from his family. And then you go back and you're like, this is what he's like as a dad. And it was just a weird place to end, kind of, I thought.
But you got him home quick because obviously he had more plans, but
yeah, no, that's totally true. All that's true. You know, it was well done for what it was. It wasn't necessarily.
Go to page 13.
Okay.
In which Jessica is overhearing the story and is laughing in the hallway.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm working on it. I need to.
My question to you is, does Jessica have some heretofore unrevealed Mr. Fantastic powers, because her torso
middle panel
is not bending like a human being's torso bends?
That's true.
Also, I don't buy Jessica Jones walking around in a sweatshirt crop top.
I didn't either. I really, that was the one part where, like, every way that you have written this character, all time, all writers, she's not walking around in a crop top. That's not her.
No.
That being said, I like this artist a lot.
Yeah, walking around in a sweatshirt and sweatpants at home, sure, but not. They're both oversized.
Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
There it was good. It's just that particular choice, and then that weird panel where she's like bending like Mr. Fantastic was weird to me.
Yep, I saw that. That's fine.
But
overall, I'd take more of this any day, and it's a real bummer that it's ending.
You know what? You got me to read Tales of Suspense.
Nice.
And so I read Tales of Suspense 100, 101, and 102 this week.
Boy, after taking 3 months off, they're coming back with a vengeance.
Matthew Rosenberg, Travel Foreman, and this is, I mean, as annoying as Hawkeye's appearance is,
I am with you.
It's still terrific. I mean, they have a great chemistry together. You're right. You mentioned this before. This is sort of old school Hawkeye.
Yes.
And this is not Hawkeye. And my favorite thing about, and they've been searching for Natasha. They think she's still alive. I guess she was also, this is another book that's tied into the end of Secret Empire, where I guess evil Steve killed her, but not really, because here she is on the final page. Spoiler. I like the casual competence of Hawkeye in this book.
I've always liked that.
He is yammering a mile a minute. He won't shut up. But in the background, he's getting everything done really well. He's taking dudes out with arrows. He's jumping over things. Like, he's getting it all done. He just won't shut up and he annoys Bucky. I like this. This is a great miniseries or whatever.
Do you know anybody who acts like that? I mean, honestly, like, I love this character since I was a kid. And the way that you just talked about it, I was like, that's kind of what I try to do. Or can't help doing.
I just hate that he's wearing a goddamn H beanie.
I don't hate the beanie as much as I hate the shirt, if I'm honest with you.
And the shirt. I mean, there was another book I read this week where he appeared in his old school outfit. And I was like, yes!
I think I can admit that, like, aesthetically, that old outfit kind of doesn't fit in. Like, it would look out of place.
To the realistic costume Marvel Universe now?
To just everybody else in Marvel. He would look sort of weird. And I can admit that.
Not next to Doctor Strange.
No, but his is what it is. But because he really is like a you know, earthbound tactical person, you know, that shift has happened from circus performer to, you know, whatever Jeremy Renner is. And that's fine. But if you're going to have him in street clothes, have him be in regular street clothes. He doesn't need to be in the thing. And you know, or I guess if okay, whatever his new outfit was at least somehow related to his old outfit visually.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could lose the mask in the old outfit and have sure. him wear the rest of it and it would be fine.
But I mean, the boots are my favorite thing, but they, you know, they're not now. They're not
back,
contemporary.
They're back with Captain America.
Hmm.
He, you know, one scene where he's like, listen, Cap can pull him off. I'm bringing him back.
It's
and
then
he
true.
Dramatically opens a closet. Mm-hmm. And then in there is whatever Scarlet Witch saw.
Just a lot of purple. That's what it was. It was that outfit. She was like, you have to get rid of these.
That's it. We've solved it.
I think so.
Nightwing 39 I wanted to mention only because Phil Jimenez did a big part of the art. And I don't know the last time I saw him draw anything. And it was delightful.
He's good.
He is very, very, very good. I didn't know he was doing it. I got to the page where it changed over to him because he did the flashback, which is most of the issue. And I was like, who is – oh, my God, it's Phil Jimenez. And then I think Sam Humphries isn't connecting on this book, and I think it was just announced that he's no longer writing it. But it just hasn't been working as well. But I really did enjoy the Phil Jimenez art in it. It was very delightful.
Well, all right. I like that, like, wow, who's this? And then, oh, great, it's this thing who I had a great feeling about, and he's still got it.
Yeah.
I really for like sure. that.
So those are the books we really want to talk about, but if you go to patreon.com/ifanboy and you give at any level, at any level whatsoever, you get to vote every week on a patron pick, a book to add to the rundown. And this week, a lot of choices. I think 33 books got voted on this week,
wow.
which is about 10 more than normal. A lot of people spread the votes out. This week, the winner, which was a tortoise in the hair situation, this book did not start out in the lead. It ended up taking the lead over at the last minute. It was Deathbed Number 1 from Vertigo, Joshua Williamson and Riley Rossmo on creative team duty. And I wasn't going to read this because Vertigo is just not on my radar at all.
I was going to read it because I saw it, and then I saw the team, and I went, all right, let's go for this. So I was going to read it anyway, and I tend to like some of Josh Williamson's, I was going to say creator-owned stuff, which I'm just going to use now for sake of clarity, whatever that means with Vertigo now. Original properties, how's that?
Right.
He has a tendency to be able to come up with a story that's pitchable,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little bit like he has
a concept.
He has a formula.
Yeah.
And I've seen this formula. He tends to lean towards horror supernatural stuff and those things, and that's really not my deal. And this was that. This felt like I can tell a Josh Williamson book because I've read a lot of them. But it was a verdict. There's a couple of things I guess that were kind of surprising about it. So it was a big penis that I didn't see coming. That wasn't supposed to be that. So, I mean, I want to just talk about what I thought of it. I feel like we have to save that. Do you want to explain it? You're good at that. Explain what it is, because I'm not sure I could.
So, an adventurer named Antonio, was it Luna? Or was that the woman's name?
Luna is, I guess Luna is the man's name. But it's, I guess
Antonio Luna, who he's a super adventurer, and he's no one knows about him. This writer, he hires a writer named Val to write his life story. She's a ghostwriter who does autobiographies, and she's like very skeptical because she Googled him and never heard of him. And she goes to his giant mansion with all these weirdo trophies and these paintings of him doing all kinds of crazy adventures, even one of him in Vietnam. And he's on his deathbed. He's old. He's dying. There's a whole staff around him tending to him, and it's revealed that the death is a ruse. He's not dying. He was just a ruse to bring all of his enemies together to try to kill him. And he wants her to chronicle his final days when he gets revenge on everybody, I guess, or kills everyone who tries to kill him. It seems like a big adventure story. And I really enjoyed the final page in which the butler is on fire in the background, which I didn't see at first as the house burns down. But I liked this. I didn't love it, but I did like it.
I just saw him.
Yeah. It's funny. Mm-hmm. And Riley Rossmo's really talented and really unusual, and has an art style like nobody else in comics. And I like Josh Williamson's work on The Flash a lot. So I think I'll give this one a go. It's interesting enough. Different, you know, it's I mean, obviously it's still supernatural because there are like demons and stuff that are trying to kill him or zombies or other things. But it was, it seems to fit in that pulp sensibility of, you know, monsters and creatures. And it's not aliens. It's not sci-fi. So I think I'll read more of it.
I think I kind of don't know what this is yet. So all I have to go on is like the girl who is the one who wants to be a writer, but she can't find her own voice, but she's really good at other people's voices. And obviously she's, I don't know, partied or whatever. Like the, there's a little sort of a comic book version of a montage at the beginning. That's, you know, she's, I don't know. Like it feels like it's trying to be edgy, but I'm not buying that part of it. I don't know. There's something inauthentic about that, I guess, that I'm not sure about.
Being for the writer?
Yep.
Yeah, she was my least favorite character. I feel like this character is very prevalent in media at the moment, you know.
Yeah. It's a man. It's taking the view of the dilettante writer, but just making it a female.
Yeah, and also like the sort of too hip, if you're not on the internet, you don't exist kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, all right.
No, so that being said, I think the concept was fun enough. I really like that shot of the three sort of like he was in the war, he was John Lennon and Yoko Ono, he was, you know.
Yeah.
That page was really good. I think Riley Rossmo is fantastic. I love the way that he drew this. I love the way he draws the female character. If she was a real person walking around, I'd be like, she's beautiful. Yeah. It'd be like, and it's not like that typical body that people get drawn with. It's a different one. And you know, I love how alive all of the panels are. Sometimes literally there's demons crawling out of every sort of corner and they're everywhere. And I wasn't sure that that was just,
like a metaphor.
Yeah, but they were actually there, which I thought was kind of strange. But it's very, I was going to use the word organic, but I don't like that. But it just, it's very lived in. It's very full. It's teeming. It's full of, you know, life here or there. That butler in the background on fire is fantastic. You know, just as a concept, it's a thing that's happening. And I like the way that he finishes his art, the zip tones and the way that it's colored. It's beautiful, wonderful, great comic book art.
So ratings, I'm going to give it a 3.75.
I was going to go 3.5.
I was too, but I wanted to inch it up a little bit.
I understand that. And I see why I considered it, but I decided to hold fast.
I get you. Are you going to stick with it? Yes.
Maybe.
I'm going to read the next one.
It. I'm telling you this, it's going to depend on the week.
That's fine.
That's totally fair. I'm probably going to read it. But if shit is going down and I have to read too many things, like I could not read it.
I get you.
That's the honest thing I can give you.
So patreon.com/iFanboy, that's where you can go sign up and vote. And if you give it the $5 level or higher, you get your very own superpower on the show. And I think previously we had said that we were up to the June 2017 patrons, but apparently we were wrong, Josh. We're actually not that far. I think we're much earlier in the year. So everyone hold tight. Ooh. Keep your boots on.
That's not good.
So first power goes to Parth.
Partholomew.
Parth's power, and I mentioned it earlier, is that he can conjure tea into his teacup. Doesn't need to fill up a bowl. Doesn't need to go put anything on the kettle. Doesn't need a teapot. Doesn't need to keep getting up because little teacups don't hold a lot of liquid. He just continue fill his teacup. Any kind of tea.
What I like about that is, to me, the real challenge of tea is in steeping time, to make sure the water is hot enough, and therefore the water
is perfectly steeped.
Wow.
Perfectly steeped, perfect temperature. Parth can, you know, also conjure up the proper additives, although I don't prefer many additives to my tea. Parth can, you know, obviously he can
honey.
Milk in the tea, honey, sugar, all that stuff can go in there. But Parth, he just his teacup is always just fills right back up.
I have a tea related anecdote that relates to this program.
Okay.
In the back of the first Starman omnibus, mm-hmm. James Robinson relates how you should make tea and mm-hmm. what Americans do wrong. And yes. I think about it and use that every single time I make tea.
Well, the thing is, and I think we're going to get to this in the email section, is that everyone has the proper way to do something. Mm-hmm. And everyone's obnoxious about it.
Yeah.
So... we'll get to that more in the emails.
I know that when I put tea in my thermo mug that I use, it stays hot a lot longer than the coffee does, and I've burned myself, so I don't put it in the mug like that anymore. Because I learned.
What tea are you drinking these days?
I don't drink tea a lot. Usually it's a sick thing.
I see.
But if I remember, I drink coffee a lot now. I'll probably have to give that up, I'm sure, because I like it. So it'll probably be something I have to give up.
How often are you putting whiskey into your coffee?
I tried it once. I didn't like it, and I dumped it out. It was bourbon. But I felt like I'd crossed a line. I was like, no, I don't want to do this.
This is a problem?
Uh-huh.
Do you know was it your morning coffee? Because that's nope. definitely a problem.
No, it was afternoon.
All right.
Roy Seitz the third, not to be confused with the second or the fourth, it should be noted. Roy Seitz the third can change the ambient temperature in any location that he's at by plus or minus 10 degrees.
I get that in a room, but what if he's outside?
There's an area.
So there's like a...
That can be changed. Like take like a bedroom sized area.
So he's got like a 12 by 12 foot bubble around him.
Something like that.
That he sort of sets the temperature. Or he can lower or raise the temperature depending on the
Yeah, no, it's 10 degrees up or down.
I see.
You can't do six.
Are you in your basement right now?
My office. Which I just realized I had to turn I would like to turn the heat on. It's winter though.
I don't know if you
realize that. It was 75 and now it's 30 and everything.
But just the temperature. He doesn't change. It's not like a all weather thing. He can't make it stop raining. I see.
It's just a subtle adjustment.
Just enough to be comfortable.
Yeah, I think that'd be really useful.
I think I never need a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he would if it was 0 degrees. Martin Kilroy. So you know how people can blow like smoke rings?
Uh-huh.
Martin can blow smoke anything. Kind of like a Green Lantern's ring.
Oh, wow. Do they have a physical form?
I mean, they come out as little smoke things, but then they fade away like smoke rings do. But he can literally make anything with smoke.
All right.
You want to smoke USS Enterprise battle carrier? He can blow that out of his mouth.
All right. You know who else could do that? Gandalf.
Right, exactly. It's exactly that.
Okay.
I didn't think of that till now, but that's exactly it.
Gandalf. Dennis Ofosu can at any time take on the appearance of Wedge Antilles, but only in the full uniform.
With the helmet?
Yeah, the whole thing. The orange rebel pilot uniform. Like, that's it. Like, what do you do? I do this. Wedge Antilles, stand right in front of you.
Can I take the helmet or the uniform off?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, theoretically, I guess. But, like, that's what shows up. And if he took them off, then like, and then he changed back, then he would have taken his real clothes off.
Interesting. So if he takes the uniform off, changes into another outfit. When he changes back, he's naked.
It's a good point. I haven't gotten that far.
That's okay.
But the point is, though,
the only he knows.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to come up with ways to deal with it, and hopefully he's going to find ways for it to be useful, because I don't think it's apparent unless he's, you know.
Listen, unless a rebellion needs a hero, then it's real useful.
Well, listen, just having the appearance of Wedge Antilles doesn't give you the heart of Wedge Antilles. And I think that's something that we all need to learn.
Patreon.com/iFanboy. That's where you can get your superpower. That's where you can sign up to vote in the patron pick. And that's where you can help us out every week or every month, however you want to help us out at patreon.com/iFanboy. That's where people go and help us out directly. We have stretch goals. We've hit very many of them. We've unlocked very many shows you get every month through that. Our very next stretch goal is a non-comics media podcast. which is just about $500 away. So if you're out there and you thought of joining up and you want to hear on a monthly non-comics media podcast, that's how you get one at patreon.com/ifanboy. Also, t-shirt store, ifanboy.threadless.com. That's where you can find our 6 shirt designs, the iFanboy logo, the Herm shirt, the Pickle League podcast ratings. If it was Electro and GDAT, you can get those shirt designs on t-shirts. You can get them on coffee mugs. You can get them on shower curtains. You can get them on welcome mats. Whatever it is that Threadless sells, you can get those designs on. We appreciate everyone who buys those. I still have to buy my GDAT shirt, which isn't. I keep forgetting to do that. I have a tab open. I just keep forgetting to do it.
I have a lot of t-shirts.
I do, but it's such a great... ifanboy.com/support. Also, that's where you can find a direct donation via PayPal button. If you want to help us with that way, some people do that. They don't want to be patrons. That's totally fine if you wanted to help us out. Again, if you need to offload some cash because tax season is right now, ifanboy.com/support. Also, ifanboy.com/Amazon. That's where you can find listings to all the books we talked about on the Booksplode shows. And then that's how you can shop via Amazon and help us out directly. So thank you very much. Let's do some emails.
As far as I can tell, there's no tax benefit to giving us a bunch of money at this point of the year.
I don't know about taxes. Ask your accountant. Ben from the UK. I've been thinking of this question for a few days. I have noticed that I have been saying things like Herm to everyone. Plus, I think I do the Spock symbol to everyone I meet. What's the most geeky thing you do on a regular basis? Other than the show, I assume he's asking.
Yeah, I think he means to when interacting with normal people.
With interacting with normal people. I know that you repeat the number 94 when anyone says that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain things that I... Star Wars Minute has popularized some things, but some of them have been happening that long anyway. And I don't remember if 94 was happening before that. I was definitely aware of it as a number. I'm looking at my wall. Apparently, at some point, I was at the deli line and I got number 94 and I taped that on my wall. And I'm staring at it right now as I say that. And I had not thought of 94. You brought it up. But as you said, I was looking at the thing. I mean, there are Star Wars lines that we all say to each other and have been for the better part of 2 decades.
Yeah. Star Wars is probably the most
I care.
Common geeky thing we say to each other all the time.
I mean, we would expand that. There's lots of movies that we have lines from that we say. That's probably the most prominent thing that we do amongst each other. But because I'm trained for it, I say it to myself or out loud to other people, you know, but they're not necessarily aware I'm doing it.
I have a problem with the word ratings.
Ratings. Oh, yeah, me too.
Where if people say it out in the world, I have to really stop myself from saying it out loud. I have once or twice. I did it once in a meeting, but luckily it wasn't that loud. And it was with people was like a small group of people I work with every day. So it wasn't a big deal. But man, that's a real problem.
Do you remember? I know you remember because you remember everything. But do you remember in college? I remember who the teacher was. We were in a class of some kind and they said something you didn't like and you said, "Eep," and which I think had been in a Batman or a Robin book or something like that. Like there had been a line where Robin said, "Eep," and we thought that was funny, but you said, "Eep," in a class. And I remember the professor was like, "What was that?" And I said, "Connor said, Eep."
Wasn't that had to have been
Mazzarella.
Children, Youth, and Mass Media, because that would have been A, one of the few classes we had together, and B, one of the few professors who scared the shit out of us.
Yeah. Eep.
You know, like, yeah, that makes sense.
And I said, I specified to her that you had, in fact, said Eep. I know. Here's the thing that I do that my family, I think, wants me to stop. My kids are little boys, and they are, my younger son especially, is really into superheroes. And it is
Who's
sort
his
of.
His favorite?
Right now?
Today.
I don't know. Well, he kind of goes back and forth between Captain America and Iron Man. He likes Wonder Woman a lot. He's into girls. He really likes Starfire.
Hello.
But that might be a different thing. anyways, there's a lot of merch out there. And the iconography that they use is a lot of times the classic image. So he has like this, sheet comforter set that's got, you know, Marvel heroes all over it, but they're all like, I'm like, it's Kirby and it's Romita. And so whenever like he has something that has art on it by somebody, I'll be like, that's Don Heck. That's Jack Kirby.
And he's like, shut the hell up, old
that's
man.
John Romita. No, they don't even register it. Like they just don't care. Like there was a thing, or I'll be, and I only do it with them. I do this with real people because it would be annoying, but I'll be in the store, you know, and there'll be comic books somewhere. And I'm like, see that book? And he's like, yeah, I go, my friend wrote that. And they don't care. And it's real, and it's absolutely really annoying. And I shouldn't do it. The art thing I'm going to keep doing because they need to know who the artists are. It's important.
All right. Good job. West from Minnesota.
The long winter months have had me craving the summer and grilling some meat over some hot hot charcoal. I know it's been years since the barbecue video shows, but what are your favorite foods to grill? Do you have any special methods for grilling? Do you prefer a sauce or a rub for your meats? I hope you're keeping warm during these cold days.
This is what I was talking about earlier with I think that everyone – I think the most obnoxious people are the people who want to talk to you about how to grill meat. I know he's not asking us for real, like, for tips, but
I think he is.
I guess for methods, but I mean,
are you talking about me right now? By the way,
no, I know I'm talking about everyone in the world. Everyone who,
yes,
every, and this is obviously a dumb male thing, but every goddamn male who's ever been around a grill has a real strong opinion on how you should use it, and it's just like everyone chill out.
And at the same time, at any given backyard barbecue or grilling event that you go to, the food is usually subpar. And everybody stands around going, this is great. And I'm always like, no, it isn't. I'm thinking that to myself. I'm not saying it out loud. I know enough. Most people cannot actually do it.
See,
but most people also think most other people cannot actually do it. So I recognize that.
Let's see. Favorite foods to grill. Josh.
I have a hard time beating the classic thick steak on a grill, done very simply with high heat, charring the outside.
Best way to make a steak.
It's the only way. I can't really. So then there's another.
Don't have grills have to make them other ways.
No, and I recognize that. And I didn't have a grill for 7-ish years in New York. And the pan inside, that shit doesn't work. It doesn't it all achieve the same thing.
Listen, you put two small onions in that pan with the steak.
Yeah, there's a way to do it. It's messy. You can do it, but it's not the same, is the point. You got to use oil and fat, and it spits everywhere and everything. There is a thing, though, where Wes said, now, I know Minnesota's cold, but he said it has me craving grilling, and, like, grilling don't stop around here, son. There's no point. That's like I shovel the driveway, and then I shovel the back walkway and the area around the grill because I'm making food that night.
Well, that also keeps you warm. Stand around it.
It's quiet out there, too.
No one's asking you for anything.
No, they are. I just can't hear them.
I think a good steak's my favorite thing to grill. I think the favorite thing I've ever grilled, though, in one time was I made some crazy ribs from a Bon Appetit recipe that cost like $200. Because I went nuts. I bought all the ribs. I bought all the ingredients. It was delicious. It the amount of effort it took to actually make it all, it would have to be something special.
I've been there. I've done that with ribs too. I'm really good at making ribs, which leads me to his next question. What method do you prefer? With most meats, I'm a high heat. I will cook the outside. I'll cook it really high and fast, basically. You want to get as much of the moisture out of the outside of it and caramelize it. And so I've gotten more and more into rare as the years have gone by. With ribs, I actually cook them in the oven. I just finish them on the grill. I don't put sauce on anything until the very end.
Yeah, you put rub on it. I put a rub. I have a nice chicken rub that I've developed over the years. I put a rub on the chicken. You cook it there. Then you end it with the sauce. So otherwise, the sauce just turns into char.
Because all the sugar in the sauce burns immediately, and the stuff inside doesn't cook. So you have things.
And I recognize that in the past, in the video shows, we've done it the way we just said not to. But that's because people evolve.
I actually didn't want to say anything. You guys really seemed into it, but.
Well, that was for TV purposes.
I understand.
But and also, I mean, I only really started doing the rub stuff in the last 10 years. So sometimes you don't know. I used to put sauce on the meat and just put it on their grill. But now I have evolved to learning more about it. And I make a rub and I coat the chicken in the rub, cook it with the rub, and then I end it with the sauce. Don't really taste the sauce anyway.
I can specify a thing that I really do love to make and I don't get to is I used to make fajitas with skirt steak. But I can't get good skirt steak here in the Northeast. It's just not a thing I can find. And so I would make like a really nice rub and then, squeeze lime all over it and like make fajitas and stuff out of it. And it was like
you need
the best
to
thing.
Get a cow, raise it lovingly in the backyard and then butcher it.
Yeah. That's the long game.
Yeah. Really traumatize the kids.
Uh-huh.
That's really what you should go for. All right. Thanks, Wes. And thanks, Ben, for writing in. Contact@ifanboy.com is where you can email us if you want to talk about food. It is a little cruel having me read this email right before lunch, but what are you going to do? It's not Wes's fault.
I just had a PBJ before this. It's not good.
I'm salivating so hard right now. I'm trying not to drown in it.
This last week, you may have noticed, we had a new Talksplode episode, special edition podcast come out, as mandated by the patrons, and where we are. So we brought back those. I got a little behind, but we are fully caught up right now. I had Rob Guillory on the show, and we talked about this new series, Farmhand, which was just announced this past week at Image Expo. We also talked about, Chew, a lot of things to do with Chew and sort of how he got there and where he is. I like Rob a lot. And I realized that Chew isn't nearly as old as I thought it was. He was like, yeah, that came out in 2009. I was like, really?
Yeah, 2009.
That doesn't feel like that long ago.
Yeah.
So they accomplished a lot. Inland was a really successful. All comic book people have an interesting road, is what I find. So I really like that. Just before that, released a show with Scotty Young. So it's two writer artists with a slightly cartoony style in a row. So I guess that's the flavor we're going for. We'll be back with another Talksplode in April, and we'll have a Booksplode next month, and we'll announce that before it is.
I looked down while you were talking and saw a post-it note on my desk that says chicken fajita. And I was like, why is this? It's like the universe is trying to get me to eat meat today. It was my Mexican food order last night that I called in before I picked it up. Black Panther. We did a Black Panther show. It's two back from here, one back. It's back behind the show on the feed. Me and the animated brain trust, Paul Montgomery and Ryan Haupt, talked about Black Panther. Josh is very bummed he didn't get to talk about it.
I'm really bummed.
Maybe we'll talk about it on a Patreon hangout next month, but I wanted to give some updates on other things because we have, well, as we record this, the second season of The Tick is out. We're not doing a show on that. In two weeks, Jessica Jones' second season comes out. We didn't do a show on The Punisher. I don't know that we're going to do very many more TV shows, podcasts, because that was really something that Ron and I did. Josh doesn't really have the time to do those in a timely manner. I just don't think at this point right now those are shows that are going to happen. So I'm trying to head off the questions now. But
I'm on episode two of The Punisher. I've been there a while.
I actually watched The Punisher last weekend. I had a weekend to myself and watched it. And I liked it. But I don't see those shows happening in a timely manner at the moment. Especially the Netflix shows in which you have to watch 13 hours. So before you ask, most likely for now, unless we say otherwise, there are no plans to do any more TV related special edition shows. It'll just be movies and other one-time events, but not TV shows, I think, at the moment, unless things change, which if they change, we'll let you know.
Or if there's some reason that we really want to do it and we, are compelled to do it instead of it being like a chore.
And TV shows when the DC streaming service launches and they do the Titans show, I might do a show on the pilot, but it's just the watching the 13 hours in a timely manner is not something that's feasible at the moment. Watching 1 hour of something and talking about it is a different story. Watching 2 hours of something and talking about it is a different story. So just before anyone asks, at the moment, we have no plans for any further TV special edition shows unless they are special pilot episode stuff.
Luckily, there's a movie that comes out every 9 minutes.
Right, so we're fine. The next one, I believe, is there's a Suicide Squad animated movie that comes out in April, and then I think is it Avengers? Is it the next one?
I don't know.
I have the file on. What March? Jessica Jones, Krypton in March, and then Avengers: Infinity War May 4th. So, yeah, there you go. That's what's coming up soon.
I really liked Black Panther.
I mean,
just in case anyone was worried, I was like, that was very, very good, and I enjoyed watching it.
Yes, it was.
There's my short review. Get over to ifanboy.com for better reviews than that to find all of the podcasts that we just talked about, past, present, and future as they arrive. The ones from the future are not there now. I just want to clarify that.
That'd be awesome. They were.
I know. Would that save us work? Is that how that works? You'll find out what the pick of the week is before the show comes out by liking facebook.com/ifanboy or following at ifanboy on Twitter. You can follow us individually at Jay Flanagan on Twitter and Instagram and Cisco Patrick on Instagram to see our quote-unquote adventures.
And if you like the show, as I mentioned at the top of the show, please write a review on iTunes. I don't know why I started going into the end of the show at the top. That's never happened before, and it's weird. If you like the show, write a review on iTunes, or you just leave a star rating if for a podcast you listen to.
Ratings.
Any show you listen to, ratings. Any show you listen to, appreciate that. It helps people find the show. It's something that's very easy to do to support your local podcast. Even better than that is to tell your friends about it. Introduce people to podcasts you may not listen to them, people who have like interests, people who enjoy discussion. Point them out to podcasts. I realize they're not new things, but there's still a lot of people out there who don't listen to podcasts, so spread the word. We really appreciate it. Until next week, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
I think there's no way I'm not going to eat meat for lunch.
Go with God, son. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.